Good to see everybody this morning. It's such a privilege to have everyone here. I was thinking just a few minutes ago, I've got five more sermons to preach, and then I'm done with full-time preaching, at least for a bit. And it's kind of bittersweet, but I have to tell you, I'm like you. It's been a while since I've heard a good sermon, so I'm looking forward to regular good sermons. So I am looking forward to that. I have certainly appreciated the encouragement that our whole family has received through the years here. It's been a privilege, and it will continue to be a privilege to work. I have a lot of people ask me what I'm going to do, and I did want to take a moment or two to tell you this morning. I think a lot of y'all already know, but I do want to say something so you can just say, I don't know, I think he's just lazy and quitting for a while. But what we're doing, what we're hoping to do, we started that 30-day challenge about 9 or 10 years ago, and it just got bigger than we could handle. I think over 400 churches so far have taken it. I know we've sent out over 100,000 of the challenges to different congregations and individuals, have even had a few denominational groups that have taken it, and it's one of those things that I really feel for reasons that Jared actually covered in his class and that Justin hit on this morning. Our interpretation of Scripture is so important. But it can't be a personal interpretation, something that is guided by opinion. It has to be guided by the Word. And so this 30-day challenge was essentially this. It was to read through the New Testament, because we nearly always start in Genesis and get bogged down somewhere around Leviticus or Numbers, and the Old Testament, which is critical and which is a part of this, is not what will tell you how to be saved. It will tell you what you need to know about God and His holiness. It will tell you the history of the world as God has revealed it to us, the parts that He has revealed to us. It tells us about God's absolute insistence on holiness and righteousness. But it's the New Testament that has the good news of Jesus Christ. We read about His life. We read about His ministry. We read about His death and His burial and His resurrection. And it's within the New Testament that we are told how we can be saved. And so what we did was we just put together a very simple study that got people to read through the New Testament in a very short period of time, possibly shorter than they've ever done before, to get an overview. And then it goes into 90 days of studying the New Testament with an emphasis on salvation. It's a self-guided study. It's one where you can open up the Scriptures for yourself and put your own finger on the passages that you see and see what it takes to be saved. See what God says about grace. See what God says about faith. See what God says about works, about certain types of sin, about things that He expects of us. But it will form a correct interpretation for you of the Scriptures, which is vital. Because you're going to kneel before God on Judgment Day someday. I'm going to kneel before God on Judgment Day someday. And the only thing that will matter is, are you saved? And if you have not read enough, you're going to be subject to the opinions of people that you love and respect. You're going to be subject to the opinions of people that you don't love and you don't respect. But more than anything else, you're just going to be subject to your own opinions. And you're going to come up with things that you think are all right, that with your own thinking and your own conclusions that seem right to you. Proverbs tells us there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. We want to make sure that we don't end up there. You're going to live the rest of your life anyway, and you're going to spend eternity somewhere anyway. Why not live the rest of your life for God in the way that He tells you to? And why not have an eternity with God, serving Him forever in heaven, instead of being punished for all eternity with the enemies of God in hell? And so what I'm going to do, what I hope to do, I'm not being presumptuous. What I'm planning on doing is this. After I step down at the end of October, What I want to do is start getting back to writing daily articles, start getting back to doing some different things on social media with YouTube and podcasts where there's something just to get people to think and encourage them to read the Bible for themselves. And that's going to take a lot of time. And preaching and doing that at the same time, I have found is not possible. So that's why I'm doing that. Hopefully we'll get some opportunities to go and speak at different congregations, but that is not the primary reason that we're doing this. And we're certainly not going to make our living off of that, nor do we intend to. We've already made provisions for the last 40 years of what we're going to do with that. And hopefully, the Lord willing, we'll be able to do that in a way that will be pleasing to Him. But again, that's what we're doing. I feel a very strong obligation and a strong urge to encourage young men to preach, as some of you young men have found out. But not until it's time, and not unless it's time. I've had enough people putting pressure on me to preach for enough years that I probably started later than I would have otherwise. There is something to be said about having a family and raising it and getting established and studying the Word before you get up and teach people the Word. But as I say, the church needs preachers. And so I hope to encourage that as well. So those are some of the things that I'm hoping to do. And I'm especially looking forward again to some fresh thoughts from the pulpit. 27 years, it's been over 2,600 sermons. You've heard what I have to say enough to where you could probably finish most of my sentences. And it's going to be good to hear some fresh thoughts from the Word. So let's be praying for that. Now, this morning's lesson is, whose purpose are we accomplishing? And much of what I'm going to be talking about, Jarrett talked about in class. They say great minds think alike, and apparently so do mine and Jarrett. But I like Jarrett, Katie did not write all of my sermon this morning, nor did Carolyn. We just kind of hit on the same theme, coincidentally, a pleasant coincidence. Here is what we want to start with. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Talking about God, His intent was now that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. I'm not sure exactly who those rulers and authorities in heavenly realms are. That's not important for today's lesson. But He wanted to make that known according to His eternal purpose. And underline that in your mind, this idea of eternal purpose, because God had a plan since before the foundation of the world. That plan involved a way for you to come back because He knew that men would sin. And He did not want them to be separated from Him forever. So He had a plan. It involved Christ. It is His eternal purpose. According to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in Him and through faith we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So we start off with the fact that God has an eternal purpose which we have a part in. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, just before this, He said, it's by grace through faith we've been saved, not by works. But then He points out, you were created in Christ. You were put into Christ, by the way, when you culminated His eternal purpose as far as salvation. You had heard the Word, the pure, unadulterated Word. You believed it. You confessed your belief. You repented of your sins. You had your sins washed away in baptism. When you were baptized, you died to sin. You were clothed with Christ. You raised to walk in newness of life. You received the gift, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not so that you could do miraculous things. That was a different gift for a different time. But this gift of the Holy Spirit we're given at baptism is that seal of redemption. We're told that He intervenes for us in prayer. We're told your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, lives in you, unless, of course, you fail the test. All these things happen. Once we become Christians, once we are in Christ, it's so that we might work for God. That is part of His eternal purpose. Are you working for God? And are you doing it in His way? Or has your genius mind come up with another way? Has your stubborn will come up with no way at all? You see, the point is, when we talk about God's eternal purpose, it starts off by showing who it belongs to, God. When it talks about being in Christ, we're told that we are placed in Christ as God's workmanship to do good works. That was His purpose for us. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Therefore, my friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." He's talking to people who are already Christians. But he says you've got to continue to work out your salvation. You're still going to be saved by God's grace and by the blood of Christ. But you still have your part to do in that, and it involves work. "With fear and trembling." It's a serious thing. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." And so we have all that. God has an eternal purpose. He has certain things that He demands of us, but which are also privileges for us to do. And that's His purpose. Now, I want to say this very quickly. I think most people know that God has a purpose. And I think most people know that He has a plan for us and that He wants us to take part in that purpose. But this is the part that I think sometimes we miss because it flies below our radar sometimes. And that is that the devil, Satan, has a purpose too. Thus, the title, "Whose Purpose Are You Accomplishing With Your Life?" But let's look at Satan's purpose. Starting in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." This gives us insight into Satan's purpose. His purpose for us is destruction. Why? I don't know. We know that he hates us, but why he hates us and why he wants us to be destroyed, I don't know. I see people doing all sorts of stuff today that aren't Satan doing things that I couldn't explain. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who asked me if I had seen this video of there was some woman riding a bike and some man just chased her down at random and stabbed her to death. Why did he hate this stranger? I don't know. Why would he do something like, I don't know. We look at our food supply and we see people literally doing everything they can to harm our food supply. Some of you cattlemen know this better than anybody. They don't want you to have too many cows burping in too many fields. I don't know what it is about cows burping, but somehow they're convinced that's going to destroy the earth. I don't know how carbon, which is required for plants to live, and fertilizer, which is required for things to grow, I don't know how they're detrimental to life. But apparently somebody has figured out they are. And they're reducing our food supply. Why are they doing that? I don't know. I just know they're doing it. Why does Satan want you to die? I don't know. But we do know that he has a purpose, and we do know that he is like an enemy that prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Satan's purpose is your destruction and the destruction of everybody he can. So let me ask you this once again. Whose purpose are you accomplishing by the life that you're living? You don't have to answer to me. That's why you'd have to answer to me. I don't know. You don't. But you will answer to God. Whether you think you will or not, whether you think you have an explanation for why you did certain things apart from His will or not, we'll all answer. Whose purpose are you serving? By the way, that's why there are so many false teachers, is because Satan hates you and he wants your destruction. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13, talking about men who are teaching false things, and there's a lot of people like that, aren't there? Such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Nobody is going to listen to a false teacher who starts out by saying, I'm going to teach you something that's going to lead to your destruction. Nobody in their right mind anyway would do that. And so what false teachers do is they masquerade as one of an apostle of light. They act as if they're teaching the truth. How do you know this morning if I'm teaching the truth? How do you know if I'm reading the verses correctly unless you're following along with the verses? The only way that you will ever know if you are serving God's purpose or Satan's purpose for certain is to read the word for yourself, to study the word for yourself, and to interpret it correctly for yourself. God gave you a fine mind, and he demands that you do that without excuse. But he also gives you the great privilege of doing that. Have you ever thought how nice it is to obey God? If you did what God wanted you to do, most of your neighbors would really like you. You would be attractive to most people. Most employers would beat your door down to get you to work for them, if you really did what God wanted you to do. Is it a requirement? It's an absolute requirement. Is there a penalty for not doing what God wants you to do? It's an eternal penalty. Ah, but the privilege of doing it, it makes you a better neighbor, a better employee. But more importantly than that, it gives you a good life. Makes you a better husband, a better wife. Makes you a better child, a better parent. Everything about God's word will enhance your life. But there are people who are masquerading as angels of light. They are saying, I'm teaching the truth, whether wittingly or unwittingly. At the same time, they're not teaching the truth. And sometimes they adjust the truth just enough to get you off. I've been framing for the past 100 years, it seems like, really just for the past month. And one thing I've noticed is this. If you get off a little bit at the beginning, once you get to the end, it's way off. And I know that because I'm working in a house that was way off to start with. There was one little 3-foot section that there was 3/4 of an inch different between the ceiling and the floor at one place and the other. That's hard to make a square door frame like that. It's hard for me to make a square door frame on a given day, a good day. But how do you make a square life before God if you're off just a little at the outset? And the answer is you cannot unless you come back and correct that. You can talk to Don, who, by the way, is a master carpenter. I like his work. I don't know why we don't have him doing this instead of me. Other than they just wanted to act. No, I do know that. But you can ask him what it means to make sure that the start is good. Because if it's not straight, nothing will work right. Now, you can sheetrock and mud and you can disguise it, and there's a lot of religious people who have sheetrocked and mudded their lives and it looks like a pretty good Christian. But the only thing that will matter on the final day is, are you a follower of Christ? Are you accomplishing God's holy purpose? Or are you working unwittingly for Satan's unholy purpose? In 2 Peter chapter 2, There were false Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, denying the sovereign Lord, bringing swift destruction on themselves. We looked at this in class this morning, didn't we? The thing that these people who are masquerading as angels of light are doing is they're secretly introducing things that will cause you to be apart from God for all eternity. God's going to bring swift destruction on them, but you will also suffer in that if you go by these destructive heresies. And again, I want to say this. Satan's purpose is your destruction. That's why we have this. And I think we have gotten caught up in a world that is so intellectual and so sophisticated that they have set themselves back thousands of years, because what passes for intellectualism today is destructive. It doesn't work. You can see it all the time. There's a state in America right now that's doing away with gasoline by the year whatever, 2030. How's that going to work, do you suppose? What are they going to use to haul things, to build things that don't have gasoline-powered engines? I don't know. I don't think it's possible. But they believe it. There are a lot of people who believe that they can serve God in their way, that they can go by a different path, but that they will still be heading to heaven, even though Jesus said there's one path that leads to life and few will find it. People still say, no, there's many paths. And so what they have done is they have denied Christ, even denying the sovereign Lord. And they have brought destruction upon themselves. And this is the part that we want to look at very closely, and then we're going to close. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. This idea of nobody can understand the Word of God. This smart person thinks this. This smart person thinks that. My mom, who loves me, thinks this. Nobody can understand. They bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, they will exploit you with stories they have made up. And that's essentially what passes for a great amount of religion today, is stories people have made up. And maybe the most serious are the lies that we make up and tell ourselves, that we really don't have to do it God's way, or that somehow God's way is our way, and God will just have to accept it. 2 John 7 is where we'll close. Verse 7, many deceivers who did not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming into the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such a person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Do you have both the Father and the Son? The only way you can know is if you're studying and reading and finding out what they have for you, and then to do that. Whose purpose are you accomplishing? Are you accomplishing God's eternal purpose and helping others to do that? Or are you accomplishing Satan's destructive purposes and helping others to pave that same path to hell? It's a question we all must ask. You may be ready to become a Christian today. If that's the case, we would love to help you. Just come forward and let your wishes be known while we stand in sin.